Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, I'm grateful for some of the kind of lovely pictures that I learned about church, about Christ in my childhood. I'm grateful for those pictures of Jesus that my memory can call up from those days gone by. You know, the baby Jesus. Or the boy in the temple and his innocence and knowledge. And then there's the image of Jesus, the good shepherd. And we've all seen the image of Jesus carrying the sheep on his shoulders and bringing him or her back into the flock. And there's such a sweet tenderness in those images. But sometimes I'm sorry that my memory has all of these pictures because of the way it's conditioned my thinking. Take Jesus, the Good Shepherd, for example. Most of us visualize a strong yet gentle Jesus with a lamb nestled in his arms, and it's a correct picture as far as that goes, but there's so much more to that picture. The first century shepherds were tough, rugged people, not the kind that you would probably select for Sunday school pictures. They could, of course, nurse a tiny lamb back to life, but they could also fight off any creature, animal, or human that threatened the flock. When the shepherd boy David insisted that he was willing to go up against the giant Goliath, he had to convince Saul of his fitness by telling him, hey, whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down. In the same way, shepherds sometimes had to defend their flocks against thieves and hoodlums and sometimes small armies that were looking for a good meal. As you can tell, shepherding, first century, was not a job for the timid. I don't think the church pictures ever conveyed that fact to me as a young kid. And it occurs to me that if they had, I might have found it rather exciting. You know, when you're a kid, you have this mindset. I remember we were at our fieldwork congregation in Oakville, in Missouri, while we were going to the seminary. And we were looking for our oldest son, who always was off running off with the pastor's son, who was a few years older than him. And we just were searching high and low over the building one time, and we finally found them in the youth room where the TV was on, and they were watching WrestleMania. It's always the pastor's kid, right? But not only as a young laddie, but that's the scene you and I should keep in mind as we think about the scripture lesson we've read from John's gospel. Here's the background. Jesus had healed a blind man, and he had done it on the Sabbath. This act stirred the rising opposition of the religious leaders, and Jesus responds to them by suggesting that these leaders, though they possessed 20/20 vision, were more blind spiritually than the man who was just healed. And that's where the story begins. As John's gospel reports, Jesus then went directly into the portrayal of himself as the good shepherd. But he begins his report in a way kind of negative, by describing the enemies of the sheep. There are some, Jesus said, who don't come by the sheep gate because they are thieves and bandits. And when the true shepherd comes, the sheep know his voice, and he calls the sheep by name. But they won't follow a stranger because they don't know his voice. And then John reports, they did not understand what he was saying to them. Isn't it a human tendency for us to miss the truth when it has our name written on it. I know that's true for me. So here's a little tangential thought, just tuck this away, but it's something I think is important. So don't think the pastor is preaching about your neighbor or about your fellow parishioner because he speaks the word of the Lord. Most likely, he's speaking to you. Enough said. So now Jesus became painfully direct. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. Those are the words of a tough shepherd, ready to engage in a fight to protect his sheep. He wasn't done. He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I suspect by this time the enemies of Jesus understood that he was describing them as thieves and bandits. And by now you understand what I said earlier, that this is another side of the good shepherd. It's the strong, tough side rather than the strong, gentle side. But you realize, as I do, that unless a shepherd was willing to be tough, there'd be no lambs for whom he could at other times be gentle. Now, what I'm saying and what Jesus said doesn't bother us a whole lot as long as we keep it in the first century, right? That is, we're willing to acknowledge that Jesus had enemies in the first century and to understand why he opposed them vehemently. But the question for us is, does he still have enemies today? At this point, I sense you might be a little uneasy about where this sermon is going. And yet I'm sure you're honest enough to recognize that the opposition of our Lord didn't end in 33 AD. Of course, Jesus has enemies in 2017. And the reason some of us, perhaps all of us, are uneasy with such talk is because we live in a time when it's okay to be emphatic about almost anything except for our faith in our Good Shepherd, Christ. The aim just now in matters of religion is simply that let's just get along. Coexist. That's what it says on the bumper stickers you've seen. Doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it. It's okay. Well, you know, isn't it interesting that that works for a while? But it doesn't work so well when you're talking to your surgeon or your stockbroker or the person who's giving you directions in a kind of a seedy neighborhood. No, being sincere isn't enough. You want knowledge and you want certainty. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to start a holy war. But I am compelled by our text this morning to say what Jesus said, that he is the gate, and that whoever enters by him will be saved. See, I'm not passing judgment on anyone else, and I'm certainly not setting myself up as an authority on God's decisions. I'm only trying to say that there's this tough side to his shepherding business. For Jesus and for under-shepherds like me, because shepherding means not only snuggling little lambs to your bosom, it also means fighting off the lions and bears and thieves and marauders of this life. Identifying and fighting the enemies of sheep. That's the tough work of our shepherd. The good shepherd must be tough sometimes. Because in this world of ours, we know there is right and there is wrong. There is truth and there is error. The reason the shepherd must be tough is because the shepherd cares for us, his sheep. As the story continues beyond our immediate text of the day, Jesus said that the shepherd's hired hand will run away when he sees the wolf coming, but the true shepherd stays to protect the sheep. But that's not all. He came, Jesus said, that you and I might have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. That's a great word. It means to have surplus, overabundance. I know something of what Jesus was talking about because I've lived, and you have too, to know a good many people who have a surplus of life, who live with an abundance, an overflow, if you will. One of the loveliest facts of my pastoral experience is that I've known so many Christians who live with a holy surplus. But it's one of the saddest things that so many of us are living with so far less, even though it's clear that Jesus meant for us to live life abundantly. When I say that our Lord means for us to live with a surplus, I don't mean that we have more money than other people or more success than others or even necessarily better health than other people. I mean that we will possess more of what we have, and what we have or should say we have or who we have is Christ, the good, tough shepherd. It's not simply that we get more stuff, more wealth, more worldly things. What we get is Christ. And with Him comes everything that the Good Shepherd gives. Tenderness, forgiveness, healing, the abundant life. But we also get what our tough shepherd gives. Salvation. Rescue from all of our enemies, from without, and also from within. You've heard the expression, we are sometimes our own worst enemy. And we all know how true that is. In Christ, we're not only saved from sin, death, and hell, even those things that we deserve, but we are given in Christ what He promises, the abundant life, an overflow, a surplus, because it is touched by a gentle yet strong and enduring hands of eternity. And this is why the Good Shepherd is sometimes tough. He cannot abide that His sheep should grovel in barren dust when He has intended for them to know green pastures and still waters. So He fiercely opposes anything that might keep us from that fullness of life. Our Lord is a remarkable shepherd, tender to shelter the helpless lamb, but tough enough to protect and fulfill us. Tough enough indeed to die for our salvation and yet to raise Himself back to life. Take comfort, little flock. Jesus is your good/tough shepherd. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen.